Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Ein Ches. We're going to begin 10 lines from the top of the Amud, right after the parenthesis. Shamas Ik Min Al Mai. The Gemara is referring back to the discussion we had yesterday. On Yom Kippur, you're meant to engage in Inui, which includes refraining from Rechitza, rinsing, bathing oneself. However, the Gemara tells us, if the purpose is not for the sake of a tanug of enjoyment, perhaps he has some lichluch, some tit, some dirt on him, which he's trying to remove, that's okay. That's not considered a bittul of the Inui experience. He's doing it just to remove dirt. Likewise, if one has to go do a mitzvah, or avoid hefsei the moment, he may walk through a body of water. That doesn't constitute rechitza. It's not a tonic for the sake of pleasure and enjoyment. Says the Gemara, that explains Yom Kippur. So we're not concerned about getting wet under these circumstances. What about Shabbos, says the Gemara, the Ika Min Al? On Shabbos where he's wearing shoes, my, do we allow him to walk through that body of water? Or perhaps we should be concerned that perhaps that shoe that he's wearing might slip off while he's walking through that body of water. And he might pick it up and carry it. Carry it load on Shabbos. And your kippur, their new shoes. There's no such concern, but on Shabbos, Di'ika Min Al Mai, do we allow him to walk through a body of water? Amar Nechemya. Chasne de Benisya, Nehemiah, the son-in-law of the Nasi, said, I myself saw, Anochazite, the Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, I noticed, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, that, yeah, they walked through even on Shabbos. Dema to Urkuma de Maya. They encountered a body of water on Shabbos, wearing shoes, Vavro derech Malbush. And they passed right through it while they were wearing their shoes. Vavro derech Malbush. That's okay. We're not concerned about perhaps these shoes slipping off and coming to do the malach of Hitzah. Says the Gemara, Tenach Minol. That explains a shoe. A shoe is generally made of softer leather, would fit snugly around one's foot, and wouldn't be much of a concern about slipping off. Sandal Mai. What about a sandal, which was made of stiffer, tougher material, was looser. It would fit loosely around one's foot, in which case perhaps we should be concerned that while he's walking through that body of water, it might just slip off his foot, might come to carry it on Shabbos. Sandal ma'ikol meimar, what would be halacha there? Amar Rav Chumi, ano chaziti l'Ravina. I observed Ravina, the avar derech malbush. Yeah, he walked through a body of water, wearing even a sandal on Shabbos. Rav Ashi Amar, no, sandal chatchil loy. Better to avoid wearing a sandal through water. It might slip off, might come to carry it. Says the Gemara, there was a story as follows. Reish Galusa, the head of the Gullus. So in Babel they had a head of community appointed by the authorities. He was the liaison between the community and the authorities. It was like the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. This was generally somebody from the family of Shevet David HaMelech, Shevet Yehuda. So the Reish Galusa, he came to visit Ikla Lahagrunya. He came for Shabbos to Hagrunya, to this town, Lebei Rav Nosson, to the house of Rav Nosson. Now, Raphram, Vekulu Rabbonon, Raphram, all the Rabbonon, also Lepirka, came to hear the drasha presented by the Reish Galusa on Shabbos. Ravina Loy Asa, Ravina didn't show up. Lamachar, the next day, Boi Raphram, Raphram was concerned that perhaps the Reish Galusa would harbor hard feelings towards Ravina for not attending the drasha on Shabbos. He wanted to remove any possible hard feelings. And he knew that Ravina had a good reason for not coming. So how did he do this? Lamacha, the next day, Boyu Raphram, Raphram wanted to, lafuki l'Ravina, to remove Ravina, midaitai, from the mind, the Reish Galusa, of the Reish Galusa, meaning he wanted to remove any possible hard feelings that the Reish Galusa would have towards Ravina. So what did he do? He decided to confront Ravina in public so that he would excuse himself in public, in which case the Reish Galusa would be put at ease. Amalei, so Raphram confronted Ravina. My time, Aloy, also Marla Pirka, why didn't you come to the shir yesterday? Armalei, Ravina responded, Have a kaiv likaroi. My foot was hurting. Iboy lach lemesa misani. Well, you should have put on some shoes to protect your feet from the stones and rocks on the road. You should have come wearing shoes. Well, he says, Gaba de karahava. It was the top of my foot which was hurting, in which case tying shoelaces on top of that wound would aggravate it. It wasn't practical. Iboy lach lemirma sandal. Well, you should have put on a sandal, which was loosely fitting and wouldn't interfere with your wound. Armali urka de mayo havav urcha. Well, there was a body of water right in the middle of the road. I wouldn't be able to get through with a sandal. Iboy lach lemevri derech malbush. Well, you could have come through wearing the sandal. Armali, well, he says, well, don't you know? You're not meant to do that. Lo yisavu lamar. Don't you agree? Don't you know? Lahod de amar of Ashi. Sandal lechatchil aloi. This halacha presented by Rav Ashi. What is that meant to wear a sandal through a body of water? You might slip off, might pick it up and carry it. So this way he excused himself for not coming to the drush. Continues Gemara. Tani Yehuda Bar Gregoris. He was a Tana Yehuda Bar Gregoris. He said as follows. Just as one cannot rinse himself on Yom Kippur, one shouldn't even engage and apply even moisture to his body. Asur Leishev Al Gabitina B'Yom Kippur. One may not sit on moist cement on Yom Kippur. Omar Rabbi Shimon Levi Ubetina Metafachas was speaking about the cement which is moist, which has moisture. Omar Abaye, what type of moisture? Ubetefeach has enough moisture that it's almanas latfiach, which means when you actually touch it, right? Like the tefach, you touch it. If you have enough moisture there that you would transfer that to the next item that you touch. That's how moist it has to be to present a concern. If it's just slightly moist, that's not enough to make it usur for Yom Kippur. This is a general klal throughout the whole Torah. In order for something to be considered wet, it needs to have this level of moisture to feach, almanas latfiach, that it be transferred to the next item. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, mutul istanim peiros. Only cool himself on Yom Kippur using a fruit, put a fruit against his face, cool himself off. That's not considered bitul ha'inoy, that's not rechitza. Rabbi Yehuda mitzdan b'kara. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda used a kara, some sort of pumpkin, to cool himself. Rabbi mitzdan b'yinuka, he would use a inuka, a child, some say it means a branch or some type of kli, to cool himself on Yom Kippur. Rabbi mitzdan b'kasa de kaspa, he would use a silver cup to cool himself off. Metal is cool. And who would use it on Yom Kippur. Omra Papa, regarding this kasa, the kaspa, this silver becher, mali asr, if it's filled to the brim with liquid, it's asr, because it might drip over and get him wet. Chaser asr, shari, but if it's unfilled, it's not filled to the top, then it's okay. The pachra, but if it's of earthenware, idivi idi asr, whether it's filled or unfilled, it's asr, because the moisture from within seeps through the walls, in which case he will get wet from it. Mishum de mishchal shachal, because the moisture seeps right through the walls. Rav Papa Amar, kasa de kaspa chaser nam yasr. He maintains that if it's a kasa de kaspa, silver kais, even if it's chaser, if it's unfilled, it's also asr. Why? Mishum de mid mizdariv, because it's slippery. So even if it's partially filled with liquid, while he's handling it, it might slip out, and it might spill all over him. Continues the Gemara, Zira Bar Chama, that was his name, Ushpiz Chenin, he was a hotelier, a host, the Rabbi Ami, the Rabbi Asi, the Rabbi Shimon Levi, Udukul Rabbanon, the Kesri Hava. So all these Rabbanon would come visit him, he was their host. So after a while, he met the son of Rabbi Shimon Levi. He says, you know, I used to host your father. I have some interesting things to tell you. Amalei the Rav Yosef, pray to Rav Shimon Levi. So he approached Rav Yosef, the son of Shimon Levi, and he addressed him as Bar Arya, the son of a lion, the son of a great man. Listen to me. Come, I'll tell you some good things that your father, Rav Shimon Levi, used to do. I observed the following. Mitpachas hoyeloi be'erav Yom Kippurim. He had some sort of a cloth, a towel, on Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur. He used to soak it in water before Yom Kippur. and then he used to wring it dry. He would make it like a dry cloth, meaning he would wring it dry, in which case it would only be slightly moist, not enough to be tefer al manas latfir, just a little moisture, and he would use it on Yom Kippur to wipe himself, to cool himself a bit. Ulamachar, the next day on Yom Kippur, mekaneach po panav yadav ragav, he would use it to wipe his face, hands and feet. It wasn't considered rechitza, it was just slightly moist. That's okay. So he would use it extensively, face, hands and feet. This was Erev Yom Kippur. Regarding Erev Tisha B'Av, he used to do as follows. Shire oisa b'mayim, the same thing, took a cloth, soaked in the water, and didn't wring it dry. So it remained very wet and moist. Ulamachar, the very next day, on Tisha B'Av, ma'avir al gabi einav, he would run it over his eyes, cool himself off, rinse himself like that. Apparently he didn't consider it a rechitza. And apparently he was more makel on Tisha B'Av than Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, it was almost dry. It was just slightly moist. And perhaps that's why he would actually use it more. He would use it for panav yadav ragav more than Tisha B'Av, because it was just barely moist. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, he would use a towel that contained a higher degree of moisture. But then, as you see, he only applied it to a limited area. Mavir al-gavi eina. Apparently, he wouldn't allow more than that because it was so moist. And more than that would be problematic, even for Tisha B'Av. So that's one version of what happened. V'chein ki osa Rabba ban Mori. And likewise, when Rabba ban Mori came, he said, Omar, be'erev Tisha B'Av, this was his version of events. Be'erev Tisha B'Av, mivin lo mitpachas. Perhaps he's referring back to Rishu Malevi as well. So this is his opinion, the way it was done, the way it's meant to be done. They would bring him a mitpachas, this cloth, this towel, v'shoyra oysa b'mayim, and he would soak in the water. U'manicha tachas mirash shoysav, and he would place it under his head, under his shoulders, meaning sort of in a contained area, so that it would maintain its level of moisture. U'lamachar mekaneach ponav yadav raglav. So he held a little bit different. He said that on Tisha B'Av, he would use it more extensively. Panav yadav raglav. So firstly, it was moist, right? He didn't wring it dry. And he would actually wipe his face, hands, and feet. Apparently, according to this version of the Gemara, since it's Tisha B'Av, where it's not a chiyuv of inui, you don't need to afflict yourself, it's more an avelus procedure to be misabel, mechorben beis hamikdash. And we know the point of refraining from rechitza during avelus, Rashi and Sukkah speaks about this, is to display kavod and concern for the mace that passed away. So he's meant to refrain from engaging in, you know, personal activities and getting involved in his rechitza and sikha, etc. So it's a different angle. It's a different geder in halacha. Therefore, he allowed himself to use this sort of wet towel to wash his face, hands, and feet. Apparently, that's not really considered a true maaser rechitza. It's not typically the way you wash yourself. So it's not considered a hesach hadas, diverting his mind from the mace. And therefore, it was mutter. Be'erev Yom Kippurim, there he was more machmir. Mivin lo mitpachas, they bring him this towel, v'shoyer asu b'mayim, soaking in water, v'ois oiso k'min kelim neguvim. This time he would wring it dry, just leave a bit of moisture in there. U'lemocha mavri al gavi einav, the next day on Yom Kippur, he would wipe his eyes with it, and that's it. So according to this version of the Gemara, regarding the level of moisture, it's the same as the first version of the Gemara. And Yom Kippur, he would drink it dry, and only then use it. On Tisha B'Av, he would allow himself to use an even a moisture. It wasn't wrung; it was soaked and left overnight. So it was perhaps tefech avonas latfiach. That's okay. It's just like a sponge bath. That's not really considered a maaser rechitza. That's mutar on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av. And regarding, you know, to what extent did he allow himself to use this, so you find that difference between the first and second lashon. Let's just summarize. We spoke about being shere, this mitzpachas, and water. So when it came to Yom Kippur, it had to be wrung dry, k'min kelim neguvim. So the degree of moisture was very minimal. It was barely teifeach, certainly not alvanas latzfiach. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, he was more mekel. He allowed himself to use a moist towel. Now, what would he do with that towel? We had two versions. According to the first version, on Yom Kippur, since it was barely moist, he would allow himself to wipe face, hands, and feet. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, since it was really lach, it was moist, the use was more limited. He would only use it for Einav. Apparently more than that would pose a rechitza concern. According to the second version of the Gemara, on Yom Kippur, he minimized. He took that barely moist towel and would just wipe over his eyes. Apparently more than that would be considered a bitul of inui, despite the fact that the degree of moisture on this towel is just minimal. Whereas on Tisha B'Av, despite the fact that it was really a wet towel, he would allow himself to wipe panav, yad v'raglav, apparently within the context of the avelus halacha, this doesn't really constitute a masa rechitza, and therefore it is mutter. Continues the Gemara, Omalei Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbi Yirmiya b'tachlif. So yes, Rabbi Yirmiya, if Amrslan, when you presented this halacha to us, it was in the reverse order. What is he speaking about? The level of moisture within this towel. The way you presented it to us was that on Tisha B'Av, it must be wrung dry in order to allow its use. Whereas on Yom Kippur, it could even be wet. That was your version. When we asked you, why aren't you concerned about Tzchita? Right, it's a malacha. One is not allowed to squeeze liquid out of a towel, a piece of material. It's called malabin, it's a seichet, it's a tolda of dash, separating something from its source, like the grain from the skin, from the husk. It's a malacha d'oraisa. So why would you allow one to wipe himself with a wet towel and Yom Kippur? You're not concerned that he's going to actually squeeze it, in which case it's a malacha. So it must be that your version is incorrect. And actually, on Yom Kippur, it must be wrung dry beforehand, not to allow its use, whereas on Tisha B'Av, it can be somewhat wet. Now, what's the pshat in Rabbi Yirmiya? Says the Tzitzis Shonim. Apparently, he held there's more reason to be machmer on Tisha B'Av, despite the fact that it's only the Rabban, than Yom Kippur. Why? He brings a Gemara which says, Divrei Tzofrim Tzrichen Chizuk Yoser. At times we find the Chachamim would actually add stringencies to the Rabbanans that are not found by D'oraisa, in order to reinforce the Takana de Rabbanan. People tend to neglect Dina de Rabbanan, oh, it's only the Rabbanan, right? So Chachamim sought to reinforce the Dina de Rabbanan, strengthen it, and sometimes would add Chumris by Dina de Rabbanan, such as here on Tisha B'Av, which doesn't even apply to D'oraisa. Apparently that was his approach. Rabbi Yaakov challenged it on practical terms. He says, L'maisa on Yom Kippur, you have to be concerned about Tzchita. How could you allow it? Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Menashe, Bar Tachlifa, Amar Rav Amram. Amar Rabba Bar Baruch Hanna. Sholos Rav Lezer. The Bnei Yeshiva asked Rav Lezer, Lezer and Pedas, Amor. They asked him a Shaila. Zakein V'yoshe B'yeshiva. Zakein here is referring to a Chacham. So he's a Talmud Chacham. And he's a member of the Sanhedrin. Does he have to be certified? Does he have to get permission from the Nasi, Lahatir Bukharis, which would allow him to be Matir Bukhar? We know that a Bukhar, firstborn kosher animal, if it has no mum, it must be brought as a carbon. You give it to the Kayin. If it's a Tam, he brings it as a carbon. If it has a mum, or a bizman azed, the only way to really eat it is waiting until it gets a mum, then it's mutar b'achil even outside the mikdash. Now the halacha is that only a mumcha, only an expert, has the authority to examine the bechor to determine whether it's considered a proper mum. It has to follow certain fits certain criteria. It has to be a mum shebegoli, something visible, something permanent. And only an expert can determine that. And the Chachamim gave the nasi the authority. He's meant to certify all the mumchim. You can't go ahead and inspect a bechor without getting prior certification from the nasi. The question is whether a zaken, the yeshiva b'yeshiva, has to come on to the nasi for that. Or shall we say, well, a member of the Sanhedrin, he doesn't need to get certification from anybody. So that was a shayla. Zaken of yeshiva b'yeshiva tzorach litul rishus. Does he have to get rishus from the nasi lahat b'choris to be matir b'chor? Or in a tzorach, perhaps, there's no need for him to do that. Ma'ikom iboilu. What was the basis for this shayla? Or the svaris? What's the logic behind this question? They had the following shayla. As Rav Idi Bar Avin told us, this concept, this was something granted by the Chachamim to the Beis Hanasi, in order to establish, to reinforce their authority. Chachamim said a halacha, this is the procedure, you must first get certification from the Nasi, this way it strengthens their position, empowers them, it reinforces their authority in Klal Yisrael. This is something that's exclusive to the Nasi. If that's the case, Tzorach Litul Rishus, even a member of the Bezin, it's irrelevant. Whoever you are, you have to go to the Nasi. This is their domain. Otherwise, you can't just paskin regarding a Bukhar. Or Yidilma, perhaps, shall we say, Kimin Duzokin, V'yeshiv Yeshiva. This fellow is different. He's a Talmud Chacham, part of the Beis Din, ain't Tzorach. That wasn't meant for him. This won't undermine their position. Oh no, a chaver of Beis Din, he doesn't need to ask permission. General population, yeah, they have to be pre-certified by the Nasi, but not the fellow in the Beis Din. So that's the Shailah. Zaken, a member of the Sanhedrin, does he or does he not have to get rishus? Omad Rabbi Tzadik ben Chalukah al Ragel. So Rabbi Tzadik ben Chalukah got up on his feet. Why on his feet? Because he was going to offer testimony. He only say Eidus Ba'amida. And he said like this. V'omar, I'll tell you. Personal account. Ani ra'isius Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. I observed Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. Shezokin v'yoshiv b'yeshiva haya. He fit the bill. He's a zokin. He was a yeshiv b'yeshiva, part of the Sanhedrin. V'amad b'malo, and he stood higher in terms of chachma mizikni shalze than the grandfather of the current nasi, the current active nasi today. Meaning, he lived in a prior generation, and at that time, who was the nasi? The grandfather of today's nasi, and Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was actually a greater talmud chacham than that nasi in his time. Right, and still, he wouldn't just take the liberty to be matir b'chor, to examine a b'chor, to determine whether it's a mum. V'natal rishus l'hatar b'chors. He went to the nasi to be granted rishus to engage in examination of b'chors. So we see that this halacha is all encompassing, all across the board, without exceptions. Humbly, Rav Abba turned to Rav Tzadik and says, "That's not the way the story went. Loikachayam ma'isa." That's not an accurate account of the story. Rather, was as follows. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra Koinoi. The story involved something else entirely different. You see, Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was a Koin, right? And he went to ask the Nasi the following question. We know that Koyhanim are not to be trusted when it comes to mum found on a b'chor. Why? The Gemara b'chor explains. It was very inconvenient for them to have to hold on to the b'chor, speaking b'zman hazeh, to hold on to it and hold on to it until it gets a mum, which would allow them to shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So they were chush, they were suspected of actually inflicting the wound on their own, which is asr, right? So Kohen has no ne'amonis when it comes to this topic. And halacha is that a kohen has to verify his account of things, meaning he has to bring an aid to prove that this mum found on the bechor was a natural mum. It wasn't inflicted by a person. Right now, the kohen is not neman on his own animal. Right, he has an interest in being matir his animal. So now the shaila is, can a bechor offer testimony on account of somebody else? I happen to know that mum found on that fellow's bechor is something that came naturally. Is he neman for that? So that was the shaila posed to the nasi by Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, who was a kohen. He wanted to know whether he can serve as a witness when it comes to offering testimony regarding a mum found on his friend's bechor. Shall we say halacha k'Rabbi Meir? Do Amar Achasha b'Davar loy donay v'loy meidah? Do we follow Rabbi Meir holds that if somebody is not to be trusted when it comes to a certain thing, like a kohen when it comes to mum on a bechor, he's off the table. He's off the scene. He can't be made. He can't be done. Hachosha b'davar. He doesn't take it too seriously. He can't be donoi. He can preside as a judge pertaining to some case like this. Nor can he be made. He can't be made. He can offer testimony when it comes to this type of concept. Perhaps you can say, you know, they cut a backroom deal. I'm going to be made on yours. Next time when I need you, you'll come to offer testimony about mine. So he's not allowed in the bezin at all. So a male, Rabbi Ben Zimra, can't be made on somebody else's bechor. Oidimo, shall we say, he can. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, domar, neman al shel chaveri, ve'enu neman al shel atzmei. Of course, he's not neman on his own. We're concerned that perhaps he applied the mum personally. But al shel chaveri, he's neman to be made on somebody else's bechor. That's not a concern. We don't take it that far. So that was a shaila. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra wanted to know. He said to the Nasi, look, I'm a kohen. And sometimes people ask me to be made on their bechor, that it wasn't something which they did, it wasn't inflicted by them. Can I do that or not? Upashadli, and the Nasi responded, go ahead, aloha, k'rabshim gamliel, that you can go ahead, be made on your friend's bechor. So this was the first shaila that they asked Rabbi Lezer and Pedas, right? Regarding Bimater Bechor, a Zokin V'yeshiv Yeshiva, does he have to conform to a standard procedure, get Rishus from the Nasi? Rabbi Tzadik ben Chalukah provided an answer. He says, I myself witnessed a story where Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra went ahead and got Rishus from the Nasi. According to Rabbi Abba's version, that's not what happened. Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra was involved in a different shaila. Whether he can be made regarding another kohen's bechor, the answer was yes. The next question posed by the Bnei Yeshiva to Rabbi Lezer and Pedas was as follows, and this pertains to Yom Kippur. That's how it comes into our sukkah. Ma'u lotzeis b'sandal shel sham. We know one is meant to remove any leather footwear from his feet in Yom Kippur. It's one of the chameshes inuyim. What about wearing a sandal shel sham? Sandal made of sham, as she says, min guma shekoyin fwey, some sort of natural substance, some sort of plant. She's going to wear this type of slipper. Is that considered part of the iser? Typically, shoes are made from leather. It offers proper protection. It's a good insulator. It fits snugly around one's foot. It's comfortable. So typically, nal is leather. Shall we say that footwear made from any other material is mutter, or should we say, well, since it's something that's occasionally worn, it serves its purpose, it's also included in the Isser of Ne'ilas HaSandal. So that was the question. Omad Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachmeni Al Raglav. Once again, he got up on his feet to offer Eidus. V'Omar, look, I'll tell you a first-hand account. Ani Ra'isi, it's Rav Shimon Levi. I noticed Rav Shimon Levi, Sheyotza B'Sandal Shol Sham B'Yom Kippur. He went out wearing a sandal shel sham on Yom Kippur. Apparently it's okay. Vaminale, and I asked him. I seized the moment and I asked him a shaila. I see you walking out with a sandal shel sham today. What about Bitanis Siburmai during a public fast day? Is that also fine? Says the Tosfos Yeshanim. Perhaps since the Tanis Sibur has been the Rabbanon, It needs more chizik, like we mentioned earlier, and there's more room to be machmer. So what do you say about a tanis tzibur? Amar li loishna, so he responded, and he said, no difference. Yom Kippur, tanis tzibur, sandal shel sham, that's fine. It doesn't afford the same protection as leather. It's not as comfortable. It's not as insulating. It's mut. Amar rabba barachana, ani reisi. So Rabbi Lezer din min ninve. I observed Rabbi Lezer from the town of Ninve. She yata b'sandal shel sham b'tanis tzibur. He went out in the street walking with a sandal shel sham on a tanis tzibur. And I followed up with the question, what about Yom Kippur? Amar le lishna, he says, makes no difference. It's all one and the same. It's not considered a na'al, and it's mut. Rabbi Yehuda nafik b'tehitni, he would walk out wearing a sandal made from sham, right, this type of plant. Abaye nafik b'tehutzi, he wore a sandal made from palm branches, Rashi says, Rava nafak b'di yivli, made of grass, Rava rahuna karech suja, akara, he wrapped a cloth, a towel around his foot, v'nafak, and went out in that manner. So anything other than leather, is not considered a problem. Ma, said Rav Bachama, he says, I have a kash on this, from a Mishnah in Shabbos, which says, hakiteya, if one, the lady was missing a foot. Yaitse v'kavshila, Divrei Rameya says he can walk down the street on Shabbos with his kav. They made for him some sort of foot replacement, some sort of wooden support, which he walks with, and it's not really a shoe, but it serves as a shoe, and you can wear it on Shabbos. No concern about the Blach of Eitzah. It's bottled to him, considered like a shoe. Rabbi Yossi Oyser, he says, no way. That's not considered a malbush, it's not a shoe. It's not something which is ordinarily worn. It's not shavah b'koyl, as she says. We can't give it the status of a shoe. It's just carrying a load. V'tani Allah, we have a brisa which adds as follows. V'shavin, all agree, even Rabbi Yosi, who says that it's not considered a minol, all agree, she'asur lotzis by b'yom kippurim. One may not wear this on Yom Kippur. Apparently, even if it's not a minnow, it's also to be worn on Yom Kippur. It affords protection. It's footwear. It's also. Okay, before we get to the terrace, perhaps let's go over to Rashi. On top of the Amid Sham is min guma shakur and foy. So the Gemara tells us, based on all these stories, anything other than leather is mut. And even betanis tzibur, hanigza lakshamim, which was established due to a drought, his name Sachas Tanis, also being a sandal, but still, this type of slipper is mut. He walked out wearing a sandal by the hitni, min sham, by the hutzi, sandal shall kabis tomorrow, by the yivli shall asav, made from grass. The Mishnah says, the kiteya is yaitse b'kav shali b'shabas, kav ashkutze, rabbi yaitse oisir. Why? Because sover lav minuhu. Halachically, it's not considered a minnow. It's not a shoe. Hoyo vein shavu b'kav, it's not something which is standard for all. V'afilu achi, and even so, even though halachically we don't consider it a minnow, what does the Brisa say? Shavin, all agree, she'asr, lotus, b'ay, b'yam, kippurim. It may not be worn on Yom Kippur. Amma, what do we see from here? Afal gav, did Rabbi Yosi love minnow? Even according to Rabbi Yosi, who does not consider this a minnow? Afilu achi, asr. Even so, it's asr on Yom Kippur. You don't need a minnow. Anything which is worn on your foot, which protects, which adds comfort, is also considered nilas ha-sandal. V'odin l'shal sham, same would apply to l'shal sham. So how can we say sandal shal sham is mutter? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abayi, ha-sam. You know why it's usher in that case? The isbek sisin. This wooden foot replacement was hollowed out, in which they would add these pads. So the pads make it comfortable, and that's what we consider to be proper footwear. And it's also Yom Kippur. Umishim Tanig, because of the comfort that it affords. But typically, the sandal shel sham, it doesn't have any padding, it's uncomfortable, and it's Motor Yom Kippur. So apparently Abaye held that the comfort factor here turns it into a shoe of some sort, even though it's not really made of proper material. It's not leather, etc. But the fact that it's comfortable, that in itself transforms it, turns it into a shoe. Amalei Rava, says Rava, how can you propose that the padding turns it into a shoe? Vilav manhu, if halachically it's not considered a mana, it's not a kli, it's not a shoe, because it's not made of leather. Ksisin mashvili mana, the padding turns it into a kli. How can you say that? It's comfortable, it's padded, but it's not a shoe. Void. In addition, kol tanug delav minahu, any type of comfortable experience, any type of enjoyable experience, which doesn't involve wearing an actual shoe, b'yom kippur mi'asa, is that asa yom kippur? You know, although we engage in affliction and inui, but we have very specific, particular things that are included on that list. In fact, the Gemara had to find Mekiris for all those things. Rechitza, Sicha, we had sugis about it. Not necessarily anything which involves Tanug is Aser. You can have an air conditioner on Yom Kippur. It's not what the Torah meant. There's some very specific things that are included on that list. Just because we have some Tanug here, he's sitting on some padding, that doesn't make it awesome. We just learned that Rav Huna would wrap a suda around his foot for nafik and walk out with it, because it wasn't a shoe. Another kasha I have on you. Look at the brice itself. The brice that we just mentioned. Make the tani safe. So you're telling me that the halacha speaking where it's filled with padding. Take a look at the next part of the brice. A miyeshle beis kibul ksis and tomi. If this hollowed out kav, this foot replacement, has a base kibble, it's hollowed out, and it's filled with, it's meant to be filled with ksisin, these pads, then we consider it like a kli eitz. It's a kli kibble, and it's tummy, meaning it has the potential to become tummy. A kli eitz is only tummy if it's something that can contain. That's the next halacha in the Braisa, describing this hollowed out kav, right? Mechlal d'resha, love with the islek sisinaskin, and apparently, what does this tell you about the first halach on the brayso? We're not speaking where it has that potential to contain ksisin. It wasn't hollowed out. So how could you say the ratio is speaking about this type of utensil? So on account of all three kashas, says Rava, I'll tell you a nupshat. Getting back to the kasha, we had a halacha supported by several accounts of different tchachamim who walked out with sandals, with footwear, non-leather footwear, on kippur, on tanis. Apparently it's mutar. We have a braisa which tells us that this wooden shoe of some sort that the kiteya would wear, even though it's not a minel, the fact is Rabbi Yossi says that you can't wear it on Shabbos. It's considered like carrying a load. It's not shove a koil. Doesn't constitute a shoe. Still, Rabbi Yossi maintains that Yom Kippur you can't wear it, which would seem to indicate that Yom Kippur, any type of footwear, is also. Elam arava lo'elam dekuli alma minel. No, you had wrong pshat. Everybody agrees that wooden footwear that affords proper protection, that's considered halachically a minel. So it's leather or wood. They're both very similar. It's considered a minel. In which case, on Yom Kippur, indeed it's aser. It's different than sham and hitni and hutzi. Those are flimsy, soft materials. They don't really afford proper protection or insulation on that foot. So those are mutter. But leather or even wood is considered minel. And that's why the Braisa tells us, on Yom Kippur you can't wear this wooden clog. Oh, so what's the pshat that Rabbi Yossi says you can't wear it on Shabbos? Says Rava, it's not to say that it's lacking. There's something wrong with the minel aspect. No, of course it's a minel. Obe Shabbos ba pligi. Regarding Shabbos, it's based on a very simple machlekes. Mar sava gazrinan dilma mishtamet va'asi. La sui daldamis. Rabbi Yossi maintains, well, this wooden clog, dilma mishtamet, it might just slip away. It's not properly fastened. Va'asi la sui daldamis, you might carry it through the street. He might end up carrying Fuamitz Mishusurab, Mulchavitsa, Masavala Gazrinan. Ramea, not concerned about the Gzera, he says, it's going to stay on his foot, don't worry about it. So, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, whether it's leather or wood, is considered a proper protection, a proper insulator, and considered a minhag, whether it comes to Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. You may not wear this type of footwear, as opposed to those soft, flimsy materials discussed earlier, sham, hitni, hutzi, divli, those are mut. Tanu Rabbanan, what about youngsters on Yom Kippur? So we know that achil v'shtiyah, no problem. They can eat, they can drink freely. Farshim explain, that can generate sakana by a child. So there's no limitations when it comes to eating or drinking or actually feeding the children on Yom Kippur. What about the other inuyim? Bathing, smearing with oil, sicha, milas ha-sandal. Says the Braisa Tanu Rabbanan, tinoikos, youngsters mutar and rekulin. They can engage in all these activities, except chutz minilas ha-sandal, they shouldn't wear leather shoes. So what's the difference between nilas ha-sandal and rechitza and sicha? Maish no nilas ha-sandal. Why? You forbid them to wear shoes. The amri, because the observer who sees the child walking around with shoes will attribute it to an adult. The amri, in shi avdulei. People did it. People gave it to him. Somebody offered him shoes. And that's a problem. Why? Let's go right over to Rashi, about middle, around halfway down the Amid. Inshi Abdulay, says Rashi, G'dayla Mosulay, the observer will attribute it to an adult. Somebody gave it to him. V'atara is hero G'dayla Malaktanim. The Torah doesn't allow a gadol to offer something of an iser to a katan. Shalay yashlam biyadayim davar aser. G'damrin m'sachas yevomis. The pasuk says, L'soichlam. We learn L'soichilum. Just as you may not feed a child a davar iser, you may not instruct him to do a malacha, you can't give him shoes to wear on Yom Kippur. So is that the reason why you shouldn't wear shoes, so that the observer shouldn't attribute it to an adult? If that's the case, says the Gemara, Hanoch Nami, the other ones as well, Rechita Sicha, why do you allow the child to engage in that? Amri, people might say, Inshu Avdali. People did it for him. Somebody bathed them or rinsed them. And says the Gemara, there's a difference. Rechitza v'sicha over there, Eimar. People might speculate and they'll say, well, my esmel adile, it was done yesterday. I bathed them yesterday. For him, kibbutz. Oh, if that's the case, sandal nami, there as well, Eimar. My esmel adile. A person will just assume he was given the shoes yesterday. No, that doesn't work. Sandali efshar. To me, esmel adile. It can't be that the sandal was done yesterday. Damar Shmuel, hi man, the boy, limit tama de misusa. If one wants to experience a taste of death, what should he do? Lisayim misani, should put on his shoes, veligin, and go to sleep. Shoes are not meant to be worn overnight. The kid is walking around with shoes in Yom Kippur, apparently. It was offered to him today by an adult. So that's the hava min of the Gemara. That when it comes to shoes, people might attribute it to an adult. I'll say it was given to him today, and therefore he shouldn't wear shoes. As opposed to rechitza v'sicha, people will just say, well, it was done yesterday. But in either case, you may not actually offer the child anything today, anything that's mevatel ini. That's the Gemara at this point. Says the Gemara, v'mutar l'chatchila k'tani. Take a look at the Braisa. It says mutarin, which means l'chatchila. He comes to the Rav, he says, I'd like to bathe my child. Go ahead. So apparently it's mutter on Yom Kippur itself. It says more, Ella, rather, the correct pshat is like this. Rechitza v'sicha, you can offer the child today, but not shoes. Why? Ha noch delav revisayu, those things. Shoes, sandals, which aren't really necessary, aren't really critical for the proper development of the child. Gozru buhu rabban. Chachamim forbade that. Let the kid walk around with slippers, barefoot. Kids always walk around barefoot. Hanach derisayu, as opposed to the other things which are vital, which are critical components in the development of the child. Bathing, sicha. Hanach derisayu, loy gozru buhu rabban. Chachamim not apply gzera. Meaning, it's mutter. And mutter, even chatchil on Yom Kippur. So if you hold that the inuyim, the other inuyim under Rabbanon, so the Lashon fits well, but even according to the Ran, brought a shita that the other inuyim amid Araisa, so more means that since the Torah was moiser to the Chachamim, the Chachamim received allowance from the Torah to apply the Inuyim, you know, based on their discretion. So they chose not to apply it to the children, because here it's not a matter of tanug, it's not enjoyment, it's not a matter of comfort. It's something which he needs. He needs to develop properly. And therefore, there was no issur when it comes to rechitza or sicha, lechatchil on Yom Kippur, for the sake of a child. Domar Abaye, as Abaye said, Omra li'aim, my caretaker, my adopted mother told me, revise di inuka. What are the necessary components, necessary ingredients for the proper development of a child? So when he's a baby, it's maya chamimi, bathe him in hot water, umishcha, smear him with oil. Gadol porta, he grows a bit. We add more. Be'asa bekutcha, he's meant to have this egg dipped in this milky dip. Gadol porta, he gets a bit older. Now we let him, we allow him free reign. Tivuri mami, we allow him to break. Kalim, to let out some steam, some energy. Giha, as we find the following story. The Rabba, Zavalu Mani. Rabba, the father, bought Mani Gzizi, these cracked Kalim, the pachor made of earthenware, Libnei, for the sake of his children. So he got second damaged Kalim, which cost him very little, as she says. And he gave it to his children. Umatbilu, they would go about breaking those Kalim. This would aid in the development of the child. So we see here that Mayachamimi Mishcha is critical for the proper development of the child, and therefore it was not included in the Isser Yom Kippur. In fact, Tosfos brings the Gemara in Chulin. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shemen v'chamen shesachtani imi bialdusi, oil and hot water that my mother applied to me when I was young, omduli b'ziknusi, they gave me strength, whether physical or emotional strength, physical. So you see, it's absolutely necessary for the proper and healthy development, physical and emotional health, development of the child. Continues the Gemara, HaMelech Vakala Yichatzos Penim. The Mishnah tells us that only Rechitza Shel Tanug is also a king who has to present himself royally, a Kala, a newlywed close to marriage, she has to go ahead and find favor in her eyes, and we allow them to wash their faces even in Kippur. Masnis and Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah, who allows the Melech and Kala to rinse themselves? Rabbi Yochanan ben Tradini, the Sanya. HaMelech v'Kala lo yirchutzus peneim. Even they may not wash their faces on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Hanani ben Tradini, Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar, yeah, HaMelech v'Kala yirchutzus peneim. Next halacha, Hachaya, a woman after birth, lo yitinol sasandol. She may not wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Hanani ben Tradin, Oimer, Mishum Belezer, yeah, Achaya Tinos at Sandal. She may wear shoes on Yom Kippur. The Gemara explains, Melech my time. Why do we allow a king to rinse himself? Mishum Dechsiv, Melech beYafyei, Techzena Inecha. A king is meant to present himself with Yafyei, royally. Therefore, it's not considered Tanuk, it's not for the sake of pleasure and enjoyment. It's needed for the Malchus. Kala my time. Why do we allow Kala to rinse herself? Kadesh like this Gan al Bala, so that she doesn't lose her husband's favor. Amalei Rav Lerbchia, Rabbi Esther Bchia, Kala ad kam, until what point do you consider her a newlywed? Pertaining to this halacha, Amalei Kadesani, as we learned elsewhere regarding an Isho became Avel, Ein Moinin Tachshitim Na Kala Kol Shleshim Yayim. We don't keep Tachshitim, jewelry and perfume away from the Kala, meaning we allow her to engage in these things, even though she's an Avelus, if it's called Shleshim Yayim, the first 30 days following her marriage. So we see that for the first 30 days, we consider her halachically as a Kala, pertaining to these types of heterim. Continues the Gemara. Hachaya, Tinol Sasandal, we mentioned that a woman after birth, she's allowed to wear leather shoes. Why? Mishum Tzina. Farshim explained, during childbirth, she gets very chilled, she loses a lot of dam. So in order to keep her warm and properly insulated, we allow her to wear leather shoes. That's not considered, according to the Shita Kontra Blazer, these things are not considered bitul of inui, a king, a newlywed. They're rinsing not for the sake of tanuk, rather the king for the point of malucha, the kala to find favor in her eyes, and likewise the woman after birth, the chaya, it's to keep her warm, It's not for the sake of comfort and tanug. And therefore, Kotor Belezer, it's no different than the halacha we learned yesterday. At a brisa, if somebody's meluchlach batit, if it's soyev, go ahead and rinse it off. If one has to pass through a body of water to get to the other side for a mitzvah, for a good purpose, you can pass through the water. It's not considered a rechitza shel tanug against mutter. Apparently, the Rabbanan disagree. See, unlike this fellow who's engaged in dirt removal, that's not called rechitza at all. Or if you try and get to the other side, by default, he'll get wet. But these individuals, say the melech, he's engaged in a masa rechitza. There's no visible dirt that he's removing. He's being reichitz himself. True. He's doing it for a higher purpose. But the actual act, the intent is different. True. But the act is still no different than an ordinary masa rechitza. Same thing with the kalah. Her intent is to find favor in her husband's eyes. That's the intent, that's the kavanah. But the masa is just like any other masa rechitza. Therefore, they maintain that these things are not excluded. It's different than the case of meluchach batit, who is just engaged in removing dirt. That's not a masa rechitza. It's not an enhancement in the person. It's not bathing. But these individuals engage in bathing. So despite the fact that there's another purpose, it's not for the sake of tonic, but the masa is like anything else. Same with the chayo, with the women after childbirth, wearing shoes. Kodja Blazer, the point is for warmth. It's not for comfort. The Rabbanan disagree. You're wearing shoes. You're not doing a different type of masa. You're wearing shoes. True, your intent is for insulation purposes, for tzina purposes. But we can't make that exception. Concludes the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Im Machmas Sakonas Akrov Mutar. Says Rashi, three lines on the bottom, Im Machmas Sakonas Akrov. If there's any sort of chance of Sakona, Mokum Sheish Lochosh Lakrabim, if he's going out to the street where he might encounter some scorpions, Mutar Kol Adam Linon, anybody can wear shoes. Meaning you don't have to stay home. Even if there's just a slight chance of encountering an Akrov, then we allow him to wear shoes, and even this degree of sakana allows for this exception. So in conclusion, we learned about rechitza, sicha, nilsa sandal. So regarding rechitza and sicha, makatan is mutter. Nilsa sandal, which according to Rashi Pshat involves leather footwear or wooden footwear which afford protection, we learned that a katan is usur in that as well. Regarding Rechitza of a melech and a kala, Rabbi Lezer says muta, chom say asur. Regarding nilas a sandal of a chaya, Rabbi Lezer says muta, chom say asur. And we learned if there's any chance of sakana, according to all shittas, one may wear leather footwear. Okay, let's just quickly review today's daf. We learned about going through a body of water on Shabbos while wearing shoes. If it's shoes which are snugly fitting, no problem. A sandal, chatchilanat, it might slip off, in which case you might come to carry. We learned that one may cool himself off on Yom Kippur, as long as he doesn't rinse himself with water. We learned about soaking that towel before Yom Kippur, before Tisha B'Av. In order to use it on Tisha B'Av, you must make sure it's properly wrung, dry, in which case it's only slightly moist. It's not tefech almanas latfiach. Regarding Tisha B'Av, we allow an even wetter towel to be used. We have the first question posed to Rabbi Elazar and Pedas. A zokin yoshe b'yeshiva, a member of the Sanhedrin. Does he have to get certification from the Nasi to examine Bechiris for a moment? The answer was yes. According to the first version of the Gemara, according to the second version of the story, the question was whether a Kohen can offer testimony on behalf of his friend to be made that the mum found on his friend's Bechir was a naturally occurring mum. And the answer was yes, he can be made al shel chaver. The next question was regarding all types of footwear which are not leather. And the answer was, that's okay. And according to Maskan the Gemara, as long as it's not leather or wood, it would be mutter. We concluded regarding the ketanim, rechitza v'sicha is needed for their development, and that's mutter, as opposed to yilas sandal, which they may not wear. We had a discussion regarding melech kala and chaya. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rabba.